Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on 2 days in the life of Jesus was recorded at our 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference. And now, here's Andrew.
Amen. This week, I am going to share with you some things that have been really special to me. You know, I got a lot of things I was wanting to share this week. I really struggled to know what to do, but there's so much happening in my life. This is one of the most fruitful, productive times of my life. God is just opening up doors. All kinds of things are happening, and I've got a lot I'd love to share. But what I've been doing lately is I've been going back and just studying through. I've been studying the book of Matthew, and just some of these simple scriptures that most of us have heard, God has used majorly in my life. And I'm in a position right now where, man, I'm going back and renewing myself. And this has just got me all fired up. So what I'm going to do is share with you about 2 days in the life of Jesus recorded in the book of Matthew. And actually, I'm going to go to the second day first because that's the most important thing that I wanted to share with you. And I'm afraid if I started at the beginning, I won't get to the things that I consider to be most important. So we're going to start on the second day. And if I have time this week, we will work back and come back to some of these previous things. But most of this, what I'll be sharing, is in Matthew chapter 13 and chapter 14. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 14 tonight. And let me just mention, this is not really a plug in the sense that I want you to buy my product, but this is a book that we put out, the Gospels Life for Today Study Edition. And what I did was harmonize all four of the Gospels. And I use this in my personal study. And I mean, I've been using this a lot in the last month or so because this is, I forget now, but 20-something years ago when I started doing our Life for Today Study Bibles, I was just going to put a harmony of the Gospels is what they call it, you know, because the Gospel writers record all of these things, but they don't seem to all fit exactly. And so there are all kinds of harmony of the Gospels that they have out there that harmonize all of these different occurrences and the actual order that they took place in. And I thought it was going to be a very simple matter of just going and finding the harmony of the Gospels and using that format. And as I got to studying, there was all kinds of different harmonies, and they all disagreed with each other, and they all said that this is the right order, and this is the right order. So I got to studying it, and every single one that I found, and I studied at least 20-something and went through them, they all said, well, we know that Mark was probably the first one, and everybody copied him, and this is human error, and they just ruled out the Holy Spirit in this thing at all. It was like these were fallible men that made all of these mistakes. They didn't believe in the infallibility of the Scriptures. So basically what I did was throw them all out and spend a year making a harmony of the Gospels myself based on what I studied. And so anyway, this is the Gospels arranged in chronological order. And one of the things that this does, this shows you things that are common to all four of the Gospel writers. Like, for instance, we're going to be talking, probably not tonight, but tomorrow, we'll be talking about Jesus when he walked on the water to go to his disciples. And did you know Matthew records Jesus walking on the water and Peter walking on the water, but the other disciples don't record any of that. And if you were to read it in Matthew, in Mark, Luke, or John's account, they don't even mention that. Mark is the only one who mentioned that Jesus would have passed by them if they hadn't cried out. The others don't mention that. To me, that is a major deal. I'm going to make a big point of that. And you only get that out of Mark's account. And it's only in John's account that you find out that after Jesus entered back into the ship, that the ship and the disciples were immediately translated to the other side of the shore. The other three writers don't mention that. And so see, if all you do is read the Gospels chronologically, it's hard to remember what all of these others have said, and it really helps to study them. So anyway, I'm saying that I've been studying out of this, and I'm going to be referring to a lot of these things. Some of you are probably wondering about how did he figure out that this is what happened on this day. It's because I've harmonized all of the Gospels, and it really helps to study it that way. So we have those available if you're interested in that. But let's turn over to Matthew chapter 14. And like I said, these are scriptures that the Lord has been using in my life for the last 20 or 30 years. He has spoken these things to me hundreds of times. And I'm in a situation right now where I'm believing God for things. God is doing things. And I have been going back and these things are speaking to me all fresh and anew. And so I want to offer this to you, believing that, you know, none of us are different. You may be believing for different things, but whatever you're believing for, it's the same principles that work. And one of the tools of the devil is to make you think that your situation is unique and that what has worked for me won't work for you because you've got this different and that. The Bible says that there's no temptation taken us but such as is common to man, 1 Corinthians 10:13. And God is faithful to make a way to escape. There is nothing new under the sun. And the exact same things that the Lord was teaching His disciples and the way that He ministered to them here, it is the exact same things for us. And as I read these passages of Scripture, God has spoken these things into me. And man, I've been getting so much out of this that I just wanted to share this with you at this Family Bible Conference. And I believe that this will help you tremendously. The first part of Matthew chapter 14 gives an account of Herod and how he arrested John the Baptist and eventually wound up beheading him. And it says in Matthew chapter 14 and in verse 13, it says, when Jesus heard of it, and this is what it's talking about, heard of the beheading of John the Baptist. And you've got to remember Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said that John was the greatest man that had ever been born on the face of the earth by a woman up until that time. He was special. John the Baptist, in the Old Covenant, Malachi chapter 3, it says, I'm going to send my messenger before my Messiah that he will prepare the way and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And you know, I've never heard anybody else teach on this, but I've studied that, and it sounds to me like that if John hadn't have prepared the way and have made things ready, that the first coming of the Lord could have been judgment instead of mercy. I'm sure that what happened is what God planned on happening, but you know what? We have a part to play with it. And if there hadn't have been those that have received, it says he would have struck the earth with a curse instead of bringing the blessing. That's a major deal. So anyway, I think that John the Baptist was super important, and that's what Jesus was saying. Jesus respected him, and when he heard of John dying, it grieved him. And you know what he did? He had his disciples separate. Let's get apart. Let's go rest. I actually took this passage of Scripture one time and used it at one of our ministers' conferences and taught about how that even though that the needs are so pressing and that there are people who are constantly wanting, there's always something that you could be ministering and helping people. I preach to the ministers that you've got to separate yourself. And I use Jesus as an example. How even Jesus, the sinless Son of God, had to separate Himself and spend time alone with God and refresh. And I tell you, it was powerful. We saw a lot of ministers repent of the way that they had not been putting their personal relationship with God priority. But you see here, Jesus, when He heard of this, He departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed Him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and He healed the sick. So He, if you put this in some of these other accounts, if you read it, it says specifically, come yourselves apart and rest a while. The reason He was going over to this desert place was to get away and rest. And yet when He got there, here were the people again, and there were so many needs that He started ministering to the people and meeting their needs. And as He did it, He ministered all day long, preached the word, healed the sick and things. And it says in verse 15, and when it was evening, the disciples came to Him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. And so the disciples here were recognizing that these people had run around the lake. They had exhausted themselves. They had stayed there all day long with nothing to eat. It was getting towards evening. All of the 7-Elevens were going to be closed. There was no way for them to get their needs met. He needed to send the people away now so that they wouldn't faint before they were able to get home. And so they were recognizing the need, but what they were saying is send the people away and let them get their needs met somewhere else. And look at what Jesus said. He says, and Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. Now again, this is a passage of scripture that a lot of people just skip over and they don't think much about it. But boy, God has spoken this to me supernaturally. And you know what? This applies to every single one of you. We are just inundated today with all of these needs. People are talking about our society. And, you know, if you've watched my television programs this week, I'm interviewing David Barton, and we've been talking about the heritage of America and where we've fallen from and how things should be. And, you know, you can get overwhelmed thinking about these needs and thinking, oh, God, how are you going to meet these needs? God is saying you meet these needs. And many of us aren't even considering this. These disciples, they saw the need, but they said, Lord, send them away that they can get their needs met somewhere else. The Lord says they don't have to depart. You minister to them. And brothers and sisters, this may sound strange to you at first, but you know what? You are the answer to the problems of this world. And some of you don't recognize that. Some of you think, no, I'm not. Man, I got my own problems. How could I help anybody else when I'm struggling myself? The truth is, you have the power of God on the inside of you. If you've been born again, you are the answer to the problems of this world. You just don't know what you've got. And praise God, we're here to explore some of those things. I'm going to start showing you some things. And this is what our Bible college is about, is teaching people who they are in Christ and showing them what they already have. But we are the answer to the problems of this world.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on 2 days in the life of Jesus. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM240C for CD or RM240D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to introduce to you a brand new feature that we have, and that's our online Charis Bible College School. We have about 15 different locations around the world where we have Charis Bible College Schools. We've had correspondence where you send in and get CDs and have tests that you send in and they get graded. But now we've started an online Bible school where you can actually sign up with other people, go through the classes. It's a structured thing, and yet it's flexible enough that you can make it according to your schedule. Wherever you are, you can get on this, and you have a facilitator that comes on and interacts with you, and it's the next best thing to being in one of our Charis Bible Colleges. I think it'll be a blessing to you, so check it out. You can call 719-635-1111, or you can go to our website, awmi.net.